Ladies and gentlemen, you have waited all week.
Yeah, Boogie Page. Throwing it down for Links BMX is ready. I know I am. Check the ATB Airways. Let's kick it. All things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, kick back and relax. And it's all things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX are streaming to you. To post up on your couch, screencast your YouTube. It's gonna be fun, it will be a blast. You gotta do much, but kick back and relax. They come into you live from a studio, or they might be at the track, man, you never know. So don't go anywhere when my rounds are done, cause the show's just starting, let's have some fun. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX got the boogeyman's back, so I wrote them this track to send some love back. JT, Melissa, Chris, and Paul, DJ Damon, can I get to entertain y'all? And I wonder who they'll have on the show as a guest. I bet someone good who's gonna impress. Guess I will just have to wait and see. Let's get the show going and start the party. Said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, kick back and relax. Said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, kick back and relax.
Welcome into the All Things BMX show. We're talking episode 158. It seems like 150 was just the other day.
It does.
Tonight, we have the man, the myth himself, the BMX podfather, Dale Holmes himself, is joining us this evening, along with Brian Fell. If you guys don't know, it's a long list of accomplishments for Dale. He's the first guy to do a BMX podcast, and he's an inspiration for me to do this show and our group here. So it's an honor to have him on here, personal idol myself. I had many, many, many pictures pinned up in my first apartment of Dale Racing. And now we have him on the show this evening, along with Brian Fell down at the Mega Design Studios. We got Damon in the house. Melissa's off, but she's setting to the off the camera here, so she's listening with us. And it's going to be a good show.
She's still here to keep us in line.
That's right. So I don't know what we're doing for trivia yet. It's going to be a good one. As always, welcome everybody in. And our guests are brought to you by Danger Snacks. It's the snack that's the difference between hauling ass or dragging ass. And we got somebody this past weekend. I left some for Paul out at the track.
Oh, did you?
Oh, like 20 minutes later, he's calling me. He's like, you son of a bitch, those are jalapeno flavored. I'm like, yeah, they're hot, dude.
That's why they're called Danger Snacks.
That's right. As always,
light you up, man.
Our opening song is brought to you by Boogeyman. Make sure you guys check him out on his social media. He's got a lot going on. More songs coming out. Don't forget, you can support the show. You got two ways you can do it. You can send stars below on the Facebook page, or you can go check us out over at Buy Me a Coffee page. Michigan Studio is brought to you by the good people at DeSoto BMX. If you guys haven't done it, make sure you guys get down there and race under the big top. Big shout out to the Rockford Rippers for joining us this evening. And our show chat is sponsored by BMX Rocks Photography. She just uploaded about 9 billion pictures from Nashville.
Oh, man, she's got a ton of them up there.
It's, I got the link. I was like, holy jeez, that's a lot.
Well, actually, if you go to her Facebook, she's got about five different, it's like post one, two, three. I think it goes through five or six. Holy moly.
This is Friday's races. This is Friday's bees.
She also had Mo helping her, too.
Yeah.
Did she? With all those pictures, but she's busy, so thank you for sharing those, Roxanne.
And speaking of BMX Rocks, the chat question for this evening, this is going to be a good one this week, I can tell. Last week's was good. It just pretty much ended. It was like some people chimed in and was like, he ain't got a gold medal. Done.
I know. I could.
Like, Joris isn't the best. He's not going to go down as the GOAT because he doesn't have a gold medal. Like, oh, okay, we're done. This week all right, hang on. I'm fixing that right now. This week's question, are disc brakes a necessity in BMX? My guys, chime in the chat. And we'll have that posted on the social media after the show's done. Melissa's Famous Trivia segment is brought to you by Bombshell Racing. Our Newsmaker segment is brought to you by 110 Nutrition. And as always, Showmakers brought to you by Answer BMX. DJ Damon coming in, flying in at the right at the line, brought to you by Hotshot BMX Racing. How's it going, Damon?
How's it going? Good.
It's good to have you here. How fast were you driving, allegedly? Allegedly, how fast?
I may have been shy of triple digits. Just shy. Especially on 23.
You're going to open it up there.
Once a racer, always a racer, man.
That's right. Did you high low anywhere? That's the question.
Actually, yes.
It's always racing action there.
I'll put my disc brakes to work on my Explorer.
There you go.
Actually, on my Jeep, I'm sorry.
The birthday shout-outs are brought to you by our good friends over at On Two Wheels. The show opening is brought to you by Gate 9. Billy, you're going to get a rest from the links this evening because, dude, I cannot do that and run everything this evening.
No, it's not going to happen. But, hey, so get your plates from Gate 9. Also, make sure you check out the live version of our show sponsored by, Mega Design Group, where Brian Fell is in the studio this evening. So if you need a pop-up tent, signage for your pit area, get a hold of Brian Fell at Mega Design Group. He'll take care of you. Also, the podcast version of our show is sponsored by Die Job Apparel. If you need custom branding on a mug, a jersey, race jerseys, Sean Gifford at Die Job Apparel will take care of you.
All right. Thank you, Chris. And welcome into the show, Dale. Brian, how are you guys doing this evening?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me, Justin. Looking forward to being on the show.
It's going to be a good time. I'm impressed I made it through the whole intro without stuttering or spitting on the microphone. All right.
I was about to say, you were cruising through the script pretty good.
Yeah. I've almost got it memorized now.
Yeah.
It's really close.
It's time to change it up.
No. You touch that son of a bitch, I'll break your fingers.
Fel and I are going to get in there and mess it all up next week.
Brian's going to be joining us. He's going to be setting in for Melissa. So he's he's going to be the other host this evening, but not playing producer. He's the director of content. Shit, I forgot the title already, Brian.
Yeah, see?
Talent.
Talent, that was it.
It's so bougie, even you forgot it.
He's going to be joining us this evening, and he's going to be sitting in for Melissa, helping us along with the interview. Brian and Dale have been friends for an extremely long time, so Brian's going to be sharing some inside stories with us, and we're going to get off and running. Dale, tell us how you found BMX.
Found BMX in school. Somebody had a magazine, and that was probably around 1980, 81. Went to watch a local race. I think the magazine kind of had dates and stuff of the local regional races in the UK. Went out and watched a race, and got a bike that following Christmas, and that was it. Bought a bike, or got a bike at Christmas. Rode for about a year before I raced. And then started racing towards the end of 1982 and still doing it now.
Nice. Do you recall what that first bike was?
Yeah, it was a Rally Supercross. So in England, Rally is was the big, or still a big bicycle brand in the UK, made in Nottingham, actually, my hometown. And it was, they had a range called the Burners. When BMX boomed in the early 80s, 82, 83, when it really started to boom, they did a range of bikes called Rally Burners. They sponsored the number one guy in England at the time, which was called Andy Ruffle. You guys probably see him online and stuff.
Yep.
And I had one of the first BMX bikes that Rally put out. So yeah, it's called a Rally Supercross, and then kind of upgraded to a Rally Pro Burner, which was towards the top end of the line, and then I kind of started getting sponsorship after that.
Nice.
Wow.
Before we jump in too far, I got to know, how do you balance? You've got two podcast shows that you do. You're also doing your camp. And how do we balance all? You have your clothing line also and the frame that you brought out. How do you balance all this stuff? Do you have a day job, a regular day job? Or is this it?
No, that's kind of it. You know, I just think at this stage in my life in BMX, I've got to, there's only so many so many years left probably for me in BMX, even though I said that when I was 16 and I'm still here. So I like to do lots of different little things, So My main source of income and my real job is the camp stuff. That's where, you know, I can generate an income. I have some sponsors that still support me, and all the other stuff is kind of fun. You know, the podcast. I done it on and off for many years now. Divide is something I'm deciding now. Maybe we should turn it into a business. People are telling me I should. Reluctant a little bit to do it. I don't want it to like take over my life, or you know. And then BMX Weekly is just, you know, it's just kind of fun. Again, place to put the podcast. I like to post. I like to share old photos, and not just of myself. I like to share other people's stories as well. So I think that's a good platform to do that. And I just kind of like to do lots of things. Oh, I'm involved in the British Hall of Fame as well. So that's takes up a big chunk of time as well. So yeah, just like certain days I'll do certain things. I'll do one day I'll focus on the Hall of Fame stuff. Maybe, you know, the next day I'll do Divide. And then obviously like now, as I'm getting ready to go into my camp season, it's all systems go on camp and prep and signups. And luckily my wife is in the background helping me with all that stuff. And looking forward to a busy summer of camps.
Nice. How did the camps come about? Like, when did that start and how did that all come about?
It started, you know, after my career, I was working for free agents. I was doing a lot of team manager stuff, and we started to do clinics and camp stuff. Well, not so much camps, but clinics with free agent. It was more for the, you know, I was trying to keep the older guys in the team around more, myself. Christian Besserine was getting up there. You know, it was slowly starting to ease Kyle Bennett, you know, that way as well. So we decided to start doing clinics and tours, and you know, Kyle would do stuff in Texas. Myself and Christian and Maris and other guys on the team would do stuff in Southern California. So I kind of got the idea from doing that. And then when free agent did come to an end for myself, which was 2013, I set up my own team, just everything under Dale Holmes Racing. I'd had a race team. And then we slowly started to get into the camp stuff. My wife was connected to the YMCAs here in San Diego. So we talked to them about doing some camps. We did a couple of tester weeks, and then we realized there could be some real traction in this. And yeah, we've been building it for ever since. Every year it's continuing to grow, and it's a lot of fun. And just I think we're going into year 9 now, or year 10. So year 9, I think it is. So yeah, still all systems go, and I still really enjoy doing it.
I say congratulations on the new sponsor. I just was reading before the show that you picked up a new bike sponsor, right?
Well, Source BMX have always, well, not always, but they supported me with teams and camp stuff in the background for probably about 3 years now. I was doing stuff with Haro previously to that. They was always my official camp sponsor, but it started to go a little bit sideways with me and Haro a couple years ago. I had just signed a new 2-year deal with them, but I could see it was kind of, yeah, it was just kind of two different visions, different people coming in, getting involved. So I started making my plans for, which is kind of now, with bringing the Source in a little bit more as a bike sponsor for the camps. And then, you know, obviously rolling out the little Divide thing that I'm doing as well with a chromoly frame.
How much is the camps if someone wants to get into them?
We did them through the YMCAs for that's where it started. And then when COVID came in, the YMCAs weren't allowed to bust the kids in. So I basically waited at the track. I've got my trailer full of bikes, helmets, and gear. The YMCA bust the kids in, and then we kind of do camp, and then they jump back on the bus and go back to the Y. So I was doing all that up until COVID times, and then they couldn't put the buses on any longer. So I started just doing it individually, just through my database. And just kind of word of mouth and you know, a lot of repeats, kids coming back. The YMCA now, actually, this is our first year back with the YMCA. And, you know, it was interesting to see how it, you know, it was always great success. The Y bought me so many kids for camp. And I was just looking at signups actually today. And I'm really excited and happy that the response is still there from the YMCA. And, yeah, like I say, this is our first year again with the YMCA after 3 years after the COVID, and it looks like we're gonna have a busy summer as well. So it's great, yeah.
So what track do you use for the camps?
Thanks, Dave.
I do San Diego BMX, and this year I'm going to do, I've got a week or so at Chula Vista. I've done them between those two tracks for the last 3 or 4 years now. And I've got a relationship with Tyler Brown. And Tyler's the greatest guy to work with. He's very professional. I love to, just to grow. And I also have to thank him. I think if it wasn't for Tyler, I wouldn't even be able to do it. So I really appreciate everything and working with him. And I think together, he helps me, and I think I can help him as well. As I get a lot of kids that once they finish with my camps, then the ones that really want to do good, then I'll pass them over to Tyler, and then he can take them on to the next level.
Okay, that was kind of my next question. There was so,
yeah, mine.
So the YMCA camps are like a beginner's. Would you say it's similar to like the beginner's league type thing?
Yes. It's very grassroots. A lot of kids come for the first time. Even when they get to the track, some kids have never even seen a track before. We only require that they can ride a bike, even though a few sneak through the cracks and show up with no bike skills. But we do get them riding, and it's very grassroots. I do have a lot of kids repeats and kids loyal people that have been coming back and back and back, and it's great. And I think during the camp, we can kind of identify the ones that maybe need a little bit more instruction, or guys that are already racing. Some of these kids are racing locally and state. And so we kind of group them depending on their level of riding. But it's very grassroots. And like I said, the ones that really get into it and start racing and really want to take it to the next level, then I like to, pass them through to Tyler. And then he continues with those kids. And it's great to see a lot of them. I go out to the track and still see a lot of them now racing. Some of them, I've actually just re-sponsored a kid that started my camp 2 years ago. He's progressed so quick. I was like, I got to get you on the team. So that's pretty cool feeling as well. And a couple of my guys are on Tyler's team as well now, which is great.
That is awesome.
You're running a team on top of everything else?
I've got like three teams. I think in the cluster of everybody's social media, I got so many things going. I sponsor actually Alec Bob is my main guy.
Uh-huh. Okay, nice.
Out there in Texas, and I sponsored him for a couple years now. We was doing a red line program last year with a couple kids out here in San Diego, and I sponsored Alec as well. Unfortunately, red line kind of pulled the plug, I guess you could say, midway through our deal, and due to business being bad as it is for everybody. So I still continue to support Alec. I like him. We've got a good relationship. He's doing the pump track stuff. He came second in the worlds last year, and he just won one this weekend in South America. And obviously, when he went back to amateur, and he's been killing it in his age class as well, winning national number one last year. And I'm just waiting to get my first batch of Chromoly frames out, and Alec's going to be our first guy riding them. Yeah, and then I've got another San Diego team here as well, which is it's a Divide Stay Strong Source BMX team. So Stay Strong support the team with bikes, and then I kind of plug them in with my other co-sponsors. And I think we've just signed another couple riders. I think we've got about eight to ten riders. I've got a team manager that kind of handles most of that. And we've got a Divide team in England as well. So, I like to do lots of things and keeping it busy. But I've got a lot of good people helping me, so I can't take all the credit, you know?
Wow.
Very nice.
Nice. Did you imagine having three teams, Justin?
I said a long time ago, I was waiting for a way to segue this in. And I remember at the Worlds in Holland, when I had Getaware stuff, I had this bike box full of product. And you had all your buddies there, and you were like, come on, mates, many hands make for light work. And I remember that to this day.
And right.
They picked up this box, and they ran it out to the bus. And the bus was like a mile away.
Right.
Don't let it fool you. Like, oh, this is 20 feet. No, it was literally like a mile away.
Right.
So that was the same mile I had to carry TJ Beach over my shoulder with a broken jaw. I just got a flashback of that.
Right.
Many hands for light work. Like,
right.
that stuck with me for a long time. It's kind of the same kind of deal you're saying.
We got a lot of people checking in the chat, and one question burning in there right now from Hollywood Mike Miranda. He wanted to ask you, who do you believe has done the most to promote the sport of BMX worldwide?
Oh, great question. Oh, I think, and I think you guys have touched on it on a few of this. Yeah, I really enjoyed the Rusty Dial show that you guys did. I listened to that while I was in England. I was driving around doing the tourist stuff with my family and had everybody listen to the Rusty one, which was cool. I think it's a combination of everybody, you know? I think we all do our little bit. I think you guys have kind of used that one before. It's not one person that is the god and does everything. I think it's a lot of people doing their own little thing, you know, and that's down to local guys doing clinics or local coaches to track me. I mean, it goes on. But on a bigger scale, I mean, in Europe, I could say, you know, Brian will probably vouch for this as well, a gentleman called Gerrit Dose, who is known as the godfather of European BMX, who is literally the guy that came to the US in the 70s, discovered BMX, brought it back to Europe, and then set up BMX in Europe, you know, and went on to, you know, he started the UCI World Cup in the 90s. I mean, Gerrit's resume is I you know, just so much, and such a great guy. And I think Brian, say he brought us over to America, myself, Levesque, Basta Beaver. He's the guy that brought us all here for our first trip. And so I would say, at least on European terms, Gerrit is our godfather. And on a world scale, I mean, I don't know, all different things. I think Mike Miranda is right now, he is the old school, or our, you know, the 80s and 90s. He's our leader right now. And I'm excited to see what Mike does with this old school racing. You know, Dirty Fest was amazing. And I'm looking forward to it. It's really, you know, give me a new fire, because I enjoy that. And I'm really excited to see what Mike's doing. And as you guys do, we all love Mike. He's the Pied Piper. And I think he has a lot of disciples, you know, a lot of people that listen, believe him. And he's such a good person, you know, a people's person.
Nice.
He's a guy, you can't not like him, right? I mean, he's just a likable person, right?
What about you guys? Who do you think?
It's tough.
It is. I mean, who's done the most for it? I don't know. Because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you got some of these guys that have these YouTube channels, like Barry Nobles. I mean, he's got, I don't know how many thousands of people follow him, you know, and then you have, well, the Sanction itself, you know, they promote the sport. Then you have, you know, there's just a handful of riders that
gun to your head, pick one person.
One person?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's really tough. Let's see. You know what? Like, are we talking modern day or for...
Whatever.
All.
This is your criteria.
All right. And I'm going to say this because I just watched this Dirty Knobs podcast. Bob Osborne.
All right. Yeah. That was amazing. Amazing. I listened to that as well. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Cool. Bob
Brian,
Osborne.
I think I know what you're going to say. Can I guess?
Go for it.
Bob, would you say Bob Tedesco for you? He's kind of your guy, right?
I would say, you know, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about the overall, but the person who's influenced the most, who probably gets probably the least amount of credit, Johan.
Yeah.
Oh.
Johan Lindstrom.
Johan Lindstrom. Yeah.
I mean, he pushed BMX through into the Olympic format, into the Olympic front. And that was global. So no matter if you're talking about a sanction, a publication, a podcast, or whatever, the whole world knew about that in less than 2 days.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, yeah. But he doesn't really get a lot of credit because he kind of went down swinging, you know, with that whole business model and stuff. So, and now you
see. I thought you might say Gary Aragon.
Yeah, that's my dude right there, Gary Aragon. I got an idea. Let's take Planet Fitness's business model and put it in BMX.
I don't give a shit what anybody says. Our budget, our bottom line that year was like, yes, thank you, Gary. We sent him a Christmas card. Thank you, sir.
Gosh. I mean, what about Jerry Landrum, you know?
That was where I was headed.
The godfather of the internet, you know, just kind of, he was the one that, and Mike Carruth, that gave us all the news, really, BMX News and BMX Mania. I mean, and obviously USA BMX guys that have obviously probably in a long term has probably been it longer than anybody as they continue to do what they do, you know.
What about, I mean, whoever, I mean, Rich Long and Gary Turner, who kept the publication in business to be able to make the publication by having
the advertising
14 pages of ads in every issue that they really didn't need to do, but they needed to fill the issue.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. And great question, the great debate. You could do a whole podcast just talking about that, couldn't you?
You could. Sure. I mean, there's so much to that. You know, the magazines, the, you know, back in the day, you know, all the new, you know.
I think it would vary on age too.
Yeah.
You guys got some names, like you guys got some different names than I'm thinking. What's that, right?
We're forgetting Prince.
William Prince, that's who I was going to go with. How do you forget William Prince, Mr. MCS?
He took a bus like in 79 to the Indy World Championships. And
was it a bus? I thought it was a Model T or something like that. He found on the side of the road.
I just bought a Jofa from Bill Prince for Dirty Fest because I was using my open face helmet. I used to have a yellow Jofa. And I was looking for one, and I bought one from Bill Prince. He gave me a big box of getaway stickers as well. So if you're listening, Bill, thanks.
You probably got about 20 of them laying in the back office.
He told me about it. He goes, dude, guess who I just sold this mouth guard to? And I go, hey, Bill Holmes. And I'm like, oh shit! Right on. All kidding aside, because I know he's gonna get all upset. Like,
he's already messaging me, by the way.
He has done a lot for BMX back in the early days.
Yeah.
But there's so many people. Like, how do you pinpoint? How do you pinpoint on the timeline?
Well, I think it's who you pick. You know what it means for you.
Yeah.
Like that, you're saying, Johan, you had RL.
Well, yeah, Bob Osborne, BMX Action.
Yeah. You got riders he can't even get into. I mean, both racing and freestyle riders that kept the sport going and stuff like
totally
that.
Totally influenced,
so.
Well, yeah. I mean, totally right. Guys that influenced us, you're totally right.
Yeah, like Stu Thompson. I mean, if you bring up a BMX racer to somebody that doesn't know BMX and you say Stu Thompson, usually they know who that is. They know the name anyways.
All depends on the age.
They rode with Stu back on the factory team back in
Yeah.
Right.
No, they in California when you meet somebody, it's they rode for GT,
yes.
Morrow, or Putch.
Yep. Normally. Yep.
Yeah. And then you ask them their name and you never heard of them.
Yeah.
Same thing here. You ride BMX? Yeah, man. I was on a factory team back in the day. Where are you? Yeah. In Michigan? We had two pros back in the 80s. Did you ride with them? Absolutely. Sure did.
Yeah, sure who are did. They?
I was full factory. I was on TV. Okay,
yeah.
Good stuff. Never met anyone from the 80s that wasn't on a factory team.
But like Brian said, back in the day, you only had 8 riders per team. And you every year, every episode, I mean, every issue, you saw those 8 riders advertising those bikes. And
that's true.
And you knew those issues front to back because you only got them every 30 days. So
exactly.
I couldn't tell you how many hours of study hall I spent reading BMX Action, BMX Plus.
Do your homework. I am. Relax.
I was going to say earlier, Dale, do you think your camps are a product of – I tell everybody I went to GT University because I learned so much stuff at GT. It's unbelievable. But do you think your camps are a product of doing clinics for so – with TC – you know, in the summer tour stuff and all that, and you know, picking up a little bit, you pick up a little bit spring break tour, you pick a little bit up on summer tour, you pick a little bit up on local stuff. Do you think that influenced and helped you build it?
Absolutely. I mean, that was the foundation of for me to learn how to do it. You know, was on the road. Would do 2 or 3 weeks throughout the year with GT. Obviously, would do 2 weeks in Florida, which would spend with you, Brian. During a few of those years, you were the team manager for GT, and you know TC actually even came over to England with me, and we did a little clinic tour around the UK as well. So yeah, I definitely learned a lot from them guys, and you know I've said it before, but I learned how to travel, and I learned how to get up and go racing, how to catch an airplane, how to meet your teammates without a phone, how to and it's all stuff that I passed on, you know, after GT, you know, when I did free agent. you know, we kind of use the same GT model traveling and everything that we did. And then obviously onto Nerve, and I taught Christian Besserine. He kind of did, he kind of fell into that plan that, which I was doing from GT, and then Kyle. And then even when Maris came and rode for us on Free Agent, he was still kind of, the model was still the GT model of traveling and going to racing. So yeah, it's amazing how they pulled that off before the internet, before phones. But I think it still works today.
Absolutely. I still make an in-out sheet all the time. Like, mm-hmm. who's coming in when, who's out when, all that stuff.
That is kind of cool to hear about.
I had some questions on that, being you're kind of the early invasion over from overseas. Like, you were doing this before social media, debit cards, internet, cell phones. Like, how was the first trip for you over here with, there's no way, I can't even imagine myself, like, just flying across the country without a phone and the internet and everything else like that. Like, yeah. How was that for you guys with the traveling?
It was a lot of pen friends. I wrote to a lot of people. I think Brian, I think I even wrote to you. The first time, and I didn't have a cell phone until I was 30. So I was way into towards the end of my AA career, I still hadn't had a phone. We first came to America, like I said earlier, Garrett Doe bought a bunch of European guys. We all came on a plane and we flew to Florida for a couple of weeks. And then we finished off that 2 weeks by going up to Ohio for the Christmas Classic. And that's where we made our first connections, or at least the first trip I was on, where we made connections with US riders. We met Richard Bartlett, who was very nice and helpful. Todd Lyons was, we got to meet Todd and Brian and a lot of the guys from Florida, Tony Sonaka, Ronnie Bonner and the UGP guys. That was kind of our first into the US. For me, I went back home and I was looking through my stuff when I was in England a couple of weeks ago. I still got address books of, where I'd write to people, and I would write to Todd a lot and he would keep me updated, and he started coming to Europe. So he would come and hang out with our guys, and we kind of made connections like that, really. And yeah, it's crazy how we used to travel. I met Pistol Pete at the 93 Grands in Oklahoma. I just flew out for the weekend to race just for a week, Race A Pro. But my plan was to kind of hook up with somebody, then come back in January for a few months. And I hooked up with, I started talking to Pete at the Grands. He's like, yeah, come stay with me. And so I went home for Christmas, wrote Pete a letter. I'm like, hey, I'll be in, California on January the 5th or whatever. If you could come pick me up, like you said. And then, yeah, got on a plane, flew out to California, and no Pistol Pete at the airport, So it was, there used to be a lot of airport shuttles. They were pretty cheap back then. I used to take a lot of those from LA down to Orange County. And you just kind of made it up as you went along, I would have people's addresses, and like I said, I literally, got Pete's address, went to his house, knocked on his door, and I was there for, 3 months. So, yeah, it's crazy how we got to do it. And like I said, I was way into my career before. I didn't have the internet or a phone until I was 30. So I was really late on everything. But I think at the same time, maybe that's why we had a lot of success in BMX. Life was simple. As Europeans, we all kind of stuck together. Out in California, we rode and we trained together and we helped each other. I spent a lot of time with Neil Wood, who'd already, come out a little bit earlier than me. So I kind of followed the lead with Neil and like I say, Todd Lyons. I think the Foster brothers were living close to us. So I learned a lot by Alan Foster, was probably the most professional guy out of the bunch of everybody. And so I learned a lot by Neil, was really good friends with Alan. So I kind of coattailed and did a lot of the stuff that them guys were doing and travel and business, and definitely made a lot of mistakes on the way, so it wasn't like we just came in and it was all great. Christoph and another guy, Levesque, I stayed with him. He helped me out a lot, stayed with him numerous times and kind of, traveled quite a bit with Christoph. Even when I was on GT, I was still very nervous. And it was a bit intimidating for me to, what it's like, Brian, like here's a rental car, and in the rental cars is Charles Townsend, Danny Nelson, Greg Romero, and Gary Ellison. I was really good friends with Christoph at the time, and I would have all my travel organized by GT, but I would I would even get to the race and I'd kind of get a bit nervous, and I'd say to the GT, you know, I'm just going to stay with Christoph, and I would go and sleep with Christoph and stay with him as well, because it was very intimidating. But the more I traveled and stuff, the more I, you know, got to know them guys, and they all became good friends. And Danny Nelson, another guy, I learned a lot. I learned a lot of the business by sharing rooms with Danny Nelson. He was kind of, you know, before me on contracts and business and money. And it was, you know, he'd share a lot of, you know, that, you know, what he knew with me, you know, during the hotels and travel. So another guy that I picked up a lot of stuff on. So, yeah, it's kind of a little bit of everybody. And yeah, like I say, made a lot of mistakes on the way as well. But, you know, I think I've always felt welcomed, and, you know, Americans have always been so nice to us, all of us Europeans. It's, you know, sometimes I forget I'm still a visitor in this country, you know. So I think everyone's always made us feel really welcome, and especially in BMX. And that was with NBL, ABA, everybody, Clayton and Bob, just was, everybody was really nice to us, you know. So definitely thankful to those people that did that along the journey.
That's great.
I think it was a little bit of everything, you know, like I know when people stayed at my parents' house, it was kind of cool to say that, like, you know, Steve Veltman stayed at the house, or, you know, Anthony Reyes or whoever would wander through there, and like Danette staying in the garage for like 3 days or something, you know, like it was cool to say that they're there and they brought a little bit to your experience, you know? So I thought,
yeah, and I think we welcome you guys as well when you came back over, Brian. You know, I stayed with you for a couple of weeks during one of the Easter Classic weeks. I remember flying out just for a couple of weeks and staying with you and going to work with you when you, I think it was in the print shop. And I think when a lot of the Europeans, you know, a lot of the Americans came to Europe, we kind of repaid that. And I always had people at my house, and, you know, TC would come and stay a little bit here and there. When he came over, even Jerry Battis came and stayed with me for a while, you know. So, Todd Lyons was back and forth a lot in Europe and England. And so we always, Rich Bartlett came out. That was cool, you know. And Rich was one of our first, he was the first pro we met. And he was a super nice guy. And still, it was nice to see him at Dirty Fest a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, I think you always have to do your little bit back and help people. And I always, you know, even up to today, I always try and share information and help people. You know, BMX, you know, Brian, there's a lot of blocking. People don't tell each other stuff and that. But I've always been pretty open and always happy to share experiences and anything, really. And sometimes where it's probably cost me maybe sponsorship money and stuff because I share too much knowledge, you know, maybe sometimes, you know, but it's just the way I am.
Yeah.
Well, you guys raced all the European stuff. So when the Worlds were over in Europe, you were used to like that environment. So when Americans came over that knew you, that made that ease their minds a little bit, like, okay, I feel more comfortable now. I know these guys from the United States. Because back then the whole world didn't go to the Worlds.
No.
You know, you had maybe 15, 16 guys that went from US, you know, to the Worlds to compete.
It took a while, I think, to you guys, really. I mean, I think you guys went the earlier years, you know, I think 83 in Holland, it was pretty well, you know, good show up from the US guys there. But then, I think 84, 85, I think Worlds kind of, it didn't really get going until the mid 90s, maybe, where you guys started coming over. But like exactly what you're right, Brian, it'd always be like, I remember Norway and Holland, Norway in the early 90s and Holland when you was there, Brian. 93, it was just a handful of Americans came, really, and I think that kind of grew and grew where it is now. But the guys that did come, you guys know what it's like when the Americans come to Europe. Everybody gravitates around the Americans. It's like, you guys have got the best stuff, you've got the
factory riders. Crazy. I remember throwing stickers everywhere.
Like, I mean, Todd Lyons really was. He'll say it himself. He says, I think one of his quotes. He goes, I own Europe, or, you know, but he really was. He would come and he was like, everybody is like, oh, Todd Lyons is here, you know? It's, and then obviously when the Ellis and these guys started to come out, yeah, I mean, and like, say, Brian and the industry guys that came out, that would just, yeah, stickers, posters, the new stuff, everyone. You guys could sell anything for 10 times much. I think nobody took their bike home. I'm sure everybody sold everything before you went home, right? Because we wanted all that stuff.
you were there for 4 days. You had somebody willing to buy your bike on day 2.
Yeah.
Really?
It's already set up. Got it. All right. You're all right. What's your name? Cool. Just come see me after my main,
yeah,
or when I'm out or whatever, and we'll figure it out. And mm-hmm. nobody took their bikes home. Ever.
No.
So ever. Those guys were like the rock stars over there when they showed up. Huh?
No, it's not because they're rock stars. It's because it costs so much to get that stuff into their country. They're buying it for 50 cents on the dollar. They're buying it for half as much as they got to pay for it.
Oh.
And they're paying like double what we pay for it, but it's still half as much as they would pay for it.
So, really? Is it that expensive to import stuff?
It used to be.
Okay.
It used to be.
Oh, yeah. And we wouldn't get it. Whatever the Americans had, we wouldn't get in Europe till probably a year later, you know? So if you guys have got new uniforms and stuff, we wouldn't see that in the shops over in Europe for, yeah, maybe up to a year later. So if we had access to buy it and it cost a little bit more, no problem. The guys wanted it, you know?
Wow.
That's crazy to think. You can hit a button. Like, I ordered some stuff on Amazon the other night, 11 o'clock at night. At 5 in the morning, it was on my front porch.
Right.
Like, it just blows my mind.
Well, yeah, that's what I was just going to say. You can't just jump on the internet and go, like, to J&R and have them ship the stuff to you.
No. Like, Not back then.
You know. Well, you know, you were talking about was it 93 Holland?
Yeah,
93. Yep.
That's like, I had a problem going over there, and I almost didn't make that race because of situation in old Gatwick. But you were talking about like being stuck and like being like somewhere without any card or anything. I remember having to take a handful of change to call my parents to tell them what happened. I mean, we're talking, you know, like 5 pounds of change to talk to for 20 minutes. And they had already heard from someone else at another race that same weekend that I had a problem, and then I had gotten arrested in Gatwick and blah, blah, blah. And as soon as I called there, they answered the phone. They were like, oh, my God, where are you at? What's going on? And I was just like, but it just, it's what, it goes back to what you were talking about, like, I just couldn't call, pick up on the cell phone and say, guess what happened, you know, when they land. You know, it was 8 pounds of change, and hopefully that was enough.
You know? It was so expensive.
Operator,
to use
wait, click.
Well, you see, like what Dale was saying is how expensive it was to use a phone. Like, I only see that like in movies when you see, you know, like an older movie, they're standing there just pumping quarters into the payphone.
Right.
Yeah.
The first time I went to California, my mom
home to tell their parents, talk to their parents, and they had stacks of quarters up on the phone, waiting to talk to their parents and stuff. The kids were.
So, my mom, I didn't call anybody in my first 3 months in California. It should have been about 91, 92. I didn't call anybody for over a month because it was so expensive. And my mom wrote me a letter and she says, are you still alive? She's like, I'm just checking. She said, you didn't call anybody. It was so expensive. And I remember, I think it was through the S&M guys in the early 90s, which I had, you know, through Neil. Neil wrote for S&M, Neil Wood. They used to get some kind of 1-800 numbers or something, and you pass these secret numbers around or whatever.
1-800 collect.
No, it's calling cards.
I don't know what it was, but you'd get these free minutes. So, and I'm sure it came from, Neil got it from the S&M guys, and that was a little way to communicate with people. But yeah, I would go months without talking to anybody.
That's like, there.
I forgot about.
You think
that.
About some of the parents right now. Like a kid goes 30 minutes, or even at a racetrack, like a kid's gone, he crossed the finish line and didn't go right to the parents. They're on the PA, like, you know, hey, this kid's gone, where's he at? Or the parents are looking vice versa, and you were just over here for months before you said a letter. And I'm thinking, mailing a letter is not the fastest way.
It took 2 weeks to get there.
That was how you were taught. That's crazy. What was one of the, like, in your first time, or maybe the first few times you'd come over, what was like the biggest culture shock for you?
It wasn't too much because we watched American TV.
Okay.
You know, obviously I was I love the Baywatch thing. I don't know if you guys are, you know, the age where you watch Baywatch in the early 90s, you know, the California beaches, you know, that kind of the lifeguards and stuff. So I'd kind of done that, and I'd read obviously I was already reading the American magazine. So I saw, you know, obviously it was talking about Bob Osborne. that was on Mike's show last week. But, you know, I'd read BMX Action, BMX Plus, you know, Inside Out. So we kind of had an idea what it was going to be like. And so it wasn't too, I think for me, it was cooking, paying bills, doing laundry. That was stuff that I was just absolutely had no idea about, you know, and that's where I probably butted my head with a few people. I know when I stayed with Todd, I didn't understand what I have to pay, you know, bills and stuff. And it was kind of a bit of a shock and an education for me. Because, yeah, I just wasn't used to anything like that before. You know, I literally came to America from living at home. You know, in England, you stay with your parents until you get married, you know. So to come and live in with an apartment full of BMXers and then trying to understand about sharing and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was definitely a bit of a shock in that department. But on the BMX sure. side, it was, yeah, I was kind of think I knew what we was getting into. And we were just, yeah, super excited to be in California. And it was amazing. I loved it. Every minute of the day, it was just everything was great, you know?
All right. Yeah. So when you got to California, did you ever find Pam Anderson?
No, but we did want it. You know, we went up to, you know, there's a famous singer in, it was a few years later that was, George Michael. I don't know if you guys know who he was.
Sure.
British singer, very respected and liked, but he got unfortunately caught in a bad circumstance in a,
yes,
in
he
a
did.
Bathroom in Los Angeles. I don't know if you remember.
Know all about it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We went there to you know, we're doing the LA thing, you know, where you can kind of go and look where everybody lived and stuff. And we're like, let's go see that. Get a picture of that bathroom where George Michael got busted, you know. So yeah. It was kind of, yeah, the LA thing was definitely, you know, that was just,
it's a different, the tour different world. Yeah.
First time was pretty cool, you know. I have to say, after watching American TV and seeing where everybody lived and stuff, it was even now just going to Hollywood once you know, once every year or two, if we go over there, it's pretty cool to see all that stuff, you know.
All the crazy stuff.
Where you live right now?
San Diego, yeah. I just live outside of Escondido, which is like at the tip of the top of San Diego. And yeah, my local track is San Diego BMX, which is about 25 minutes drive away. And then you've got Chula Vista, which is about 45 minutes away. So yeah, it's a nice quiet area where I live. But
it's definitely bad a drive.
It's good for mountain biking, a lot of mountain biking around here, which I don't really do too much of, but it's definitely a nice place to live.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cool. So is there a huge difference between European and United States BMX?
Oh, well, that's an open question. I think it, you know, it changes throughout the years and decades. I think obviously 80s into the 90s, obviously the Americans were, you know, just every age, every class, just flat out, you know, the leaders really. I think slowly, you know, the Europeans got better as the rest of the world did. And then, you know, leading into, you know, even during my years racing in the 90s and 2000s, it was still very heavily US based. You'd have obviously Christoph and, you know, Neil Wood, Jamie Staff, Thomas Allier, you know, a selection of, you know, European guys that came out here and did good. And then obviously the Australians as well, but it was still very heavily US based when it came down to AA mains and stuff. But obviously that you go up to current times now where it really is a worldly, you know, you watch your main event, you've literally got literal guys from all over the world, you know, so it's definitely different and evolved and changed, but it's still kind of cool to see racing as it is today, you know.
Right.
When you rode for Free Agent, how long were you on their team, and you know, how did you like being on the team?
Yeah, I think 8 or 9 years.
Oh, nice.
So I got on in I was riding for Nerve in 2000 and 2001, got let go by Nerve. So I did about 6 months without a sponsor, where I just kind of put some, actually Bill Ryan made a frame for me. I did a Chromoly Supercross that Bill made for me. I kind of ran that for 6 months with the help of some great co-sponsors. And then got on Free Agent, I think it was the end of 2002. Okay. And then rode for him, and then obviously rode for him, and then into team managing, but still riding and working and racing with them guys till 2013.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Was it Vince? Was he like?
Yes. Yeah. I think Vince is still there. I haven't spoken to anybody down there, but the last I heard, Vince is probably the longest standing guy that's worked there. But yeah, Vince was always down there in the warehouse and taking care of the team and stuff. Okay. And yeah, like I say, I think he's still there now, which, yeah, good people.
Nice. That Free Agent limo, man, that was a bike right there, boy. Woo.
Yeah, no, they did. You know, I rode for GT, and then when I went to GT for Nerve, I basically took my GT and we copied it. And then when I got on Free Agent, I kind of put the Nerve GT alongside the Free Agent limo, and it was basically the same anyway. Mm-hmm. And then I think when I went from that bike to I did a Chase, and that was very similar, at least dimensions and stuff. And then onto the did a Stay Strong, again, very similar. I think everybody really came from that GT. I think a lot of people copy. I think Billy Griggs probably deserves a whole lot of credit. You know, he was involved in the boxers and stuff, and it's still right up to current times. That geometry is still, you know, the 21, you know, 21, 21 a little bit, 21 and a quarter mm-hmm. is always, standard. But I thought Free Agent always had good sizing, you know. I think, you know, Bennett was always used that. Christian Besserine did. I think Maris, he liked the limo, but he liked it super stiff, so they had to put a different back end on for him. But yeah, it really was to say how many years that bike had already been going, and even probably today, it's still a pretty good bike.
Huh. Nice. Did they put the back end on that they're using now, or like within the last 10 years, 15 years? The same.
I don't know. You know, I haven't been with Free Agent for about 10 years now, over 10 years, but I know when we was there, we all used it. And then when Maris joined the team in 08, at the end of 08, when he came out and rode for Free Agent, he liked it super stiff. He was so strong, and just the way he accelerated, he wanted it, and the limo was stiff, but he wanted it like super duper stiff. He even didn't mind about putting more weight on the bike. He just needed it stiff because he, you know, the acceleration that guy had down the first straight, you know. But apart from that,
He was a beast down that first straight.
Yeah. So
who was it? Was it Kyle Bennett or Robert DeWilde that cut his back? The brace in the back on the chainstay.
On the GT?
Yeah, on the G. Was it Robert on GT that did it?
Didn't he do that with a brew? Didn't he take a brew when he was riding for them and put something like that on the back end of it?
I thought somebody on GT.
I don't remember. I know Greg on Robinson, he would change his, and Thomas would as well. They would change their setups a lot. You know, they were always down there with Billy, like changing the geo and stuff on the frames. But I always kept it pretty basic. You know, I always like the limo, which was basically, just same as a GT, the boxers that I rode, you know.
Okay.
All right.
So I don't think that geometry has changed much on anything.
Yeah.
So much, you know, except for like some of these like girl specific things that have come out, you know, here more recently.
I just remember the Free Agent limo had like this funky brace behind the rear bottom bracket. It was quite funky on it. Because I actually had one of those at the house, and it was like somebody took a block and just like stuck it back there.
I tell you right now. It was very it was basic bike, but it was stiff, and it worked well, you know. So I think they were onto a good thing with that bike.
Yeah, because I got the Cruiser sitting at the house, and
Cruiser was good as well. I ran a Cruiser as well, which was again very similar to the box Cruiser as well, you know. So I think a lot came from that era, you know, those mid 90s. I think Horror made a lot of stuff probably as well, those kind of dimensions. But like I said, I think Billy Griggs did a lot back, you know, that people are still using today.
He did a lot of people's bikes, and he did a lot of like for contests, they were making some stuff. I know like Shanahan had a bike, Ream had a bike, Royal had a bike.
Billy does some
when he was on the show, he like went through a list of names that he'd built for and talked about some of the Olympic bikes and all that stuff. That's pretty
cool. He's super knowledgeable. I think he does a lot of Chaser stuff now. I'm pretty sure he does. You know, I'm never a techie person. I've always been very basic and stuff, but one of the few guys I'd be like, when I was doing the Divide stuff, I was making some bars and I was asking some questions on Facebook about 6 months ago on the frame, and Billy, I was reading all the comments from everybody to try to pick up ideas or stuff, and whatever Billy said, it hit straight away, and that's what I did, you know. He's very respected, and like I say, anything that guy's got to say on that stuff, whatever Billy's doing, I'm in.
So Billy's your Yoda.
Same size as me, and like I say, I don't, not too techie, but the few times I've tried to, you know, get information and stuff, Billy always seems to make sense, you know, and can kind of break it down and make it like, okay, that's what I want, you know.
Yeah, he's well, really
he was part of the whole evolution of like the monocoque frames, the cockpit for Powerlite, and the one for GT, the box series, all that stuff. So, and the reason why I'm saying this is like, I went in there one time to see him, and I pushed open the gate, and I was walking in, and there was two guys in white lab coats that threw a sheet over what they were working on. And I was just like, what the hell? Like, where did I just walk into? And I'm like, Griggs. And he's like, yo, over here. And I kept walking back into his section. But it turns out they were working on, like, the BB-30 or BB-something. I don't know. Something mountain bike techie that I don't know anything about. But Griggs got to work with top-notch tools. That's one thing that GT never skimped on. If it made sense, do it. And I could see him getting, you know, oh, I need this welder because it's better than this one. Get it. I need this because this press or this machine does this better than this one. Get it. You know, that's how they did it, and they did it right. It was like a NASCAR of BMX. You know, they did it all right all the time, or they didn't do it. And that was like, that's something that stuck with me forever. You know, and that goes back to GT University again, you know, all that stuff. But it was just cool.
Hey, Dale, we're gonna jump to commercial break. We'll be right back. We want to talk about the frame, and we also still got to talk about your podcasts. All right.
Yeah.
So you guys don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Damon's gonna take us out on commercial. Damon, take it away, man.
BrandedPopUps.com. Get a canopy from your favorite brands such as Carbone Cartel, Shadow Conspiracy, 110% Nutrition, Profile Racing, Union Square Shoes, Pro Gate, and Gate 9 Designs, among others. Each canopy is 10 foot by 10 foot, comes with a user-friendly collapsible aluminum frame, UV-coated for sun protection, and water and flame resistant. Visit our website for the full offerings of your favorite BMX brands. BrandedPopUps.com.
Value in the world on bikes, parts, and equipment.
BrandedPopUps.com. Get it.
All right, DJ Damon bringing us back on them ones and twos. Damon, where'd you work last weekend?
Oh, man. Well, I did my bar gigs, but yeah, I was hanging out Friday and Saturday night downtown for some after parties. Electronic Movement was going on. Didn't walk in the house until almost 8 o'clock in the morning.
I was thinking. Well, Detroit had their big electronic music festival.
Big
going
techno
on.
Fest.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
did they?
Yeah.
So
see, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I was.
Well, this.
I mean, it's not like I was out of town, but
yeah, I see you down there just raving your raving your afro off there.
Can you see Chris on some Molly?
Oh, or Jesus! Jeez, just having a good time. All right,
Chris hanging with his glow sticks, yes, going crazy.
Save that after for the after show, there, Damon.
All right, we're back. We got Dale Holmes with us this evening, and Brian Fell's in from Florida helping us out. He's taking the co-host seat while Melissa's healing up, and as Melissa's gone. We are not going to do any trivia, okay?
What? I'm
sorry. No way, dude.
I was ready for it, man.
No way. Nope.
I was going to host the trivia.
Dude, every time we try to do her trivia stuff, it's just a hot mess. So
we'll
put it on pause until she comes back and gets healed up. And she's had a lot of people in the chat wishing her get healed up quick. Get and well,
all right, since it's going to be on pause, maybe we can get all the gifts back out. All the prizes out.
Dude, the room is just full over there of bags we got to deliver.
It's coming, guys. It's coming. Dude,
hey, while we're getting things squared away here, make sure you like and subscribe to the show. Give us a, you know, if you're enjoying this talk we're having with Dale Holmes, give us a like on the page there. Which are YouTube or Facebook, give us a thumbs up. Let us know you're liking what you're seeing.
And Dale, I want to give you a little shout here. There's some people saying hi. Robert Cardoza wanted me to pass along. Hello, and glad to hear somebody from the other side of the pond joining us. And his bride, Jane, echoed that. Our normal sound guy, Paul, he's out at the track this evening, and it would have been really nice if you were here. He said hi, and looking forward to hearing the interview this evening. Huck Kernsey says hello. Kernitsky, you're getting a preview.
Hey, that's easy for you to say.
Preview of Chris's birthday. By the way, you're going to have to do the birthdays in an English accent. Miranda said that was what you had to do tonight.
No, Mike.
Nicholas Shane says hi. Mike Miranda says hello. Our good friend Low and Slow, Jim Bosco, says hi. William Prince wanted to clarify that he did rent a bus and take a whole bunch of people on tour. Rick Carter, Emily Schaefer, Mike Melvin, Nick Valencia says hello, and Alicia English is saying hi, and the rest of our group in there, we appreciate it. Woody Storley, hello, how's it going? If you guys got questions for Dale, you got stories you want to share, put them in the chat.
Put them in there.
I'm jumping around, doing the best we can to.
Yeah, we'll try and get to it as best we can.
It's really nice. Like Melissa
Chris,
runs this for
you
us.
Have a question?
Yeah, what were you going to ask, Chris, before we went to commercial?
Yeah, hey Dale. So we were talking free agent and Maris Stromberg there for a minute. All right, so I'm not real familiar with the whole – I came back – I raced until 1990 and then was out of it until 08. So the Olympic thing was just happening as I came back, so I wasn't real familiar. But how did you land Maris Stromberg?
You know, we had the – free agent was always really good. You know, they took care of the riders. They supported pros. It was just always a good sponsor, good people. Everybody got paid. It was never no, where's my check or nothing. It was very, very GT, Brian.
Nice.
Good.
And so it was coming towards the 06. I think I finished AA in 05, 06. And then I started easing into the team managing role. And so I was kind of overlooking, you know, like say Christian and Kyle were our two big guys at the time, and we started sponsoring guys in different countries leading to that first Olympics. And we had six riders that qualified on free agent to that first 08 Olympics, was pretty cool. Actually, it would have been seven, but there was a lot of drama on the UK team with Kelvin Beatty and Liam Phillips. So we lost one rider in that, but he's still very successful for free agent, but we still didn't get a medal. I didn't do anything, but the riders. And so it was after 08, and you know, I was trying to really take the reins with the team then. And even though I was a team manager, Kyle still always did his own thing with the respect who he was. And we never tried to push him. And Kyle, as you know, Brian, is in his own slow pace, Texas, where me, I'm trying to, let's do this, let's do that, you know, 100 miles an hour. So I was trying to get Kyle to re-sign with free agent because, you know, everybody signed on the team or re-signed. And I was like, Kyle, you know, you fly out and get your contract done. Then I can start working on gear sponsors and stuff, but I can't do it till I know that you're on. And Kyle just kind of, it just took his time. He flew out to California to do his contract and didn't even go to free agent, you know, Kyle being Kyle, just super laid back guy, you know?
Right.
So I got a little bit frustrated with Kyle. He was kind of holding me back a bit. And so I said to my boss, you know what, you know, can I try and get somebody else as well? Obviously Kyle, we knew would re-sign and stuff, but I said to my boss, can I just see if there's anybody else we could get? And so I just randomly emailed Maris and I said, have you any interest to come to the US? I had heard whisper he wanted to come to the US after the Olympics. And he says, yes, I do. So we just got it rolling straight away and we put a contract out there. He went for it and he flew out for Reno for the first season. We obviously kept Kyle as well. And yeah, he came out and he lived with me for the first year while he kind of got established and kind of what we talked about. I helped him kind of how I'd been helped. Okay, this is the lady that you do tax with. This is how you, you know, pay your bills. It's how you do, you know, do everything.
Right.
And he stayed with me for a year. And then by the time, you know, after a year, he kind of worked it out, bought his own house and then continued to have great success. So yeah, that was kind of, I did think it was going to be hard to get him, but you know, I said to him, aren't GT or Haro, anybody else putting any bids in? And he says, well, not really. So it was, really? It was easier than wow. I thought, to be honest. And it was a, you know, I think Kyle Maris, he got a good deal that first year he came out. And then when he did his next deal, then I feel knowing a lot of the GT stuff and the guys that got paid in the 90s, I think Maris was really on par with the 90s guys. And I think he was treated well by a free agent. He was paid very well and very deservingly so on what he did and who he was, on top of being a great racer, who was just a great person, you know, and he still is today.
How?
Because he stayed
grew up humble, you know, right. He grew up humble, you know, so he was appreciative of coming over here. I know that when he was on one and he was staying with Nick Lucas's family in Florida,
yes.
he would come there and stay a lot. And Dee and Dan have nothing but great things to say about him the entire time he stayed there. I mean, like going out and helping carry the groceries in and all that kind of stuff, you know, like thank you for letting me stay here. I appreciate it. You know, not like a lot of the kids today, I think, probably aren't, you know,
right.
Not that I know that because I'm way past doing all that. But but I got to think a lot of them are like that.
You know, he's absolutely. After living with him for a year, I can't fault in any way. He would send his trainer birthday presents, birthday cards. I would see Christmas cards and that between him and his friends. He would bring his friends out from Latvia, and I would start finding out more about him. Oh yeah, I work for Maris in Latvia. You know, he has a wood shop, and he employs a lot of his BMX friends. And I don't know if he still does now, but he did then. But all stuff he never really told me, but. He was just doing good stuff and taking care of his friends. I mean, my house would be full of Latvians for weeks on end, you know, just to bring all his buddies out and they'd all be like goofy laughing and stuff, you know, and but just good, humble, nice people. And yeah, I can't say That's anything awesome. Bad about that guy. He generally is a great guy.
Yeah, he is. I met him one time and he was a really good guy. Yeah.
I would love to mess with him about going out after the race, about bringing the vodka. Come on, I got the vodka in the car, let's go. And then he would come by the tent and be like, you got the vodka? And like he just
right he by, likes to know? Drink like, yeah
I'm ready to go, let's do it, you know.
We need him on
he
the show.
He trained very hard, but when there was, you know, a little time in, his coach would tell him, he's like, you need to go drink and have some fun and let your hair down and then you'll be ready to come back and be strong again. And so he right. definitely likes a little secret party, not even secret, but he liked to have a drink when the time was right. And yeah, sure. Yeah, I think he balanced life good, you know?
Yeah, we definitely need him on the show.
Jeez, I'll work on it. What was what was that like, cool. The first Olympics? You're there, this is your guy, you brought him on into the fold, and to see him win the gold.
Well, he won the gold in 08, and he was still on one bicycle. So I wasn't at that race, even though we sponsored guys that were there on free agents. But the real one for me personally was 2012. Obviously, Maris was, you know, into a, you know, riding for us for a couple of years by now, or it was his fourth year on the team. I was in London to witness it. We had David Herman as well, who qualified for the US. He was on free agent that year. So we was really happy to have both Herman and Maris in London racing. And then to see, you know, Maris wasn't really riding that good during the event. It wasn't clicking. He was struggling all day, you know. He just kind of got out the motos. And then I think they have two semis. The first semi still wasn't that great. But the second semi, he just got one of the, you know, he just kind of worked it back out. And I remember talking to him behind the gate. I was like, it's back into it. And And he looked at me, and he was never cocky or nothing, but he looked at me as like, I'm back, I'm ready, you know? And he had that little smile on his face, you know? And it was amazing to see him win. I was standing on the second turn, and I was, you know, shouting and screaming, and Sam was right behind him, and everybody knows how good Sam is, and it definitely wasn't over. But Maris, just his third straight was amazing, because, you know, say Sam would normally, you know, he was trying to attack, but Maris just held him off, and he was going just as fast, and to see him win it, and then to be behind, you know, all the team stuff and stuff, I got behind there, and just to see him all celebrating, and it was great, you know. So wow. it was nice to be part of that in a little bit, or at least to get to witness that. It was rad.
So I like that streak he did with picking lane 8. Like,
yeah,
for quite a few races, I want to say he picked lane 8 and just horsed people from the outside. Like South Africa, yeah, I think, sticks out in my head the most.
Yeah, he was confident. When he picked lane 8, that meant he was really confident. Sometimes I feel he should have picked, like, him and Sam went back and forth a lot in the Nationals and stuff. And I think sometimes he picked the outside when he probably, some of those smaller ABA races, he would pick a few of the outside lanes sometimes. I'm like, you didn't need to do that, you know. I think he was always worried about getting cut off. So I think, but when he did pick those on those big supercross tracks, when you knew he'd choose lane, you know, like Kinman does now to a whole nother level, you know, those guys are pretty confident, you know, and he definitely smashed a few big wins from that gate.
Yeah.
Wow.
And with the horsepower he has, hey, he can work lane 8, no problem.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
What were awesome. Some, when you were still racing, Dale, what were some of the Nationals you looked forward to? I meant to ask this earlier, but I wanted to circle back to it, because I know the first time I saw you racing was at the Classic. That was a staple for us in the Midwest to go to. And you mentioned that a few times.
Christmas Classic.
What were some of the Nationals, or what was the National that you looked forward to every year?
Any race fell was that.
I mean, it probably was, to be honest. I loved going to Florida. Like I say, that was the first place we ever went to, and I'd go back and did the Easter Classic numerous times. Always loved the vibe down there. It was like a whole nother world, you know, the NBL, Florida, just different riders. I love the sun, love Florida. So I always liked to go to anything in Florida. A lot of the back east stuff, you know, like I say, we talked earlier before the show, Michigan. I was there for the Worlds in 94. I love that. I love Kentucky. Always had, just love the vibe there, and a lot of NBL stuff back there. But I still liked a lot of, you know, the California stuff. Even though it wasn't my favorite place to race, but I always had a lot of success at Reno. You know, Vegas, I always like to go to the races there. So it was a little bit of both, but it was always fun to go back east. You know, you could, the races weren't super big like a California National during the 90s. So you could still be in South Park or Evansville, and you could still hop on a plane Sunday night and be back in California, you know, by 10 o'clock at night. So always like to go to the East Coast, and NBL was, ABA was good as well. But I always enjoyed doing the NBL stuff out there.
Yeah, that Easter Classic, that was the best, man.
Wasn't that back-to-back?
It would be like spring break or Easter weekend. In one weekend, it would be a national at one Florida track, and then the following weekend, it would be at another Florida track.
Didn't they
Florida
do that
track.
Just a couple years? I was down there for that.
No, they did it during COVID, I think.
They did that. Yeah, they didn't really do it. They have no idea what all that shit was about.
No,
no one looked better back then.
Well, you guys had the Roots Jam.
We would stay and do clinics. So we would go to, we'd fly in for the first Florida race. And then, like I say, we'd literally, Brian was our tour guide. We would hop in there. Brian would have a box van. We would have a passenger vans behind the ride at the pros. And we would basically go to three or four different Florida tracks during that week and do clinics. And then during the day, we'd go to the beaches or just kind of hang out and chill in Florida, and then finish up the second week in Florida. So I loved going down there. It really, and a lot of the pros did the same. I think one year, literally the whole pro class, we went from one of the races, I think it was Punta Gorda. I think we did the first week, and then we literally all went to South Beach for the week. You know, it was, really fun. And like all the, it's like two semis and double A's all hanging out on the beach, which is pretty funny, you know?
Right. I can't imagine the stories that were had.
Like, Well, I got one for you because
okay,
I was trying to think about like a story I could tell and like I could story I could tell, and I was when I first got well, it was a budget box fan we had one year one of the first years before we brought the GT box fan down, and you guys were in another van. It was like Charles driving, I think, and Ellis, you, Danny, maybe, and I had Romero with me.
And, yes.
And we got into a food fight on the road.
Oh, my gosh.
And I remember you guys threw, like, this tuna sub, and it went all over the front of the box, man. It was all flat on the front. And I was like, we're going to get them. So I hammered it down in the box van, and I took the fire extinguisher out from under the seat. And I aimed it off the window and just let it fly. And it went all into your all's AC and went up into the van. It went everywhere. You guys were like swerving. The whole road was like white from like fog. Lucky we didn't cause a damn accident is what it was. And I just remember you guys, Charles was so fucked. He was so mad. What are you doing? We could have died back there, and I just couldn't stop laughing. Greg is laughing because Greg was Greg's got all this on film too, because yes. Like this I'm saying, I bet like a lot of filming going on, a lot of filming.
I've got because I carried a camera for about 10 years. Oh, I've got a lot of that Florida stuff. You know, I've got Gary Ellis, Danny Nelson just rolling down the beach, but I've got a lot of film of me filming Greg. Me filming Greg and Greg's filming me, and there's a lot of between the two of us we could probably come together with some good stuff, but probably a lot of stuff that we wouldn't need to post as well. But Greg's got a lot of stuff as well. Yeah.
Well, there's a couple questions in the chat that we want to get to. The first one is what's your thoughts on Bethany Shriver, and that's from Robert Cardoza.
Okay, I mean, wow, she's next level. You know, it's I know she was good, and I knew she'd be in there at the Olympics, but to see her win the Olympics and then just smash so many big races, win the worlds. And I watched those clips, you know, they post at Manchester. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, not just Beth, but all the girls now are just on a whole nother level, you know. Yeah. It's pretty amazing to see.
I think she's got a long career because she's funny. Like,
she's
always doing like this kind of stuff, like what she's outing and in and like doing all kinds of like funny faces. So I think she's got a light
sense of humor.
I like that.
Man, she can ride. Like, wow.
She's fast.
She puts those clips out, and you're like, did she jump the entire last straight? Or like, did her front end even touch? Like, the front tire touched the ground? She's.
I go to the track sometimes in San Diego, and sometimes Elise Post is there. And I literally, I'm tactical when I get on the gate. Of course, they're going to beat us, but you still don't want to get smashed by them. So I sometimes, on a Sunday, we go to the track, and it's less people. So we kind of, everyone's hanging out in the gate talking and stuff. And I will literally wait for Lauren Reynolds and Elise Post. Like, if I'm getting on the gate and I see them behind, I'll pull back or I'll jump off my pedal and, like, I don't want to get on the gate with them because they're that good, you know. So they're that fast, you know.
That girl pro class is no joke, man. I enjoy watching it. It's good racing.
Yeah, it's definitely come around a lot from where you actually are excited to watch the girl pro final because you know something's going to happen, you know. Yep. So
yeah.
So the next question is coming from Hollywood Mike Miranda. It's a two-part question. First part, I'm going to actually ask the second one, Mike, because I feel this is a quick one. Have you seen Mr. Fell naked?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And thank you for this question, because this is going to segue into the next part I wanted to dive into. So first off, before we jump into this question.
That's what Miranda wanted to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you were talking about when you were chatting about Maris. That podcast you guys did once, you were out in front of, I don't know if it was a Starbucks or
coffee shop.
There was a coffee shop of some sort. And I remember like a motorcycle pulled up and a truck pulled up and you have to pause. But I remember listening to him and that it was one of your podcasts. I was like, man, this is something I think I might want to entertain. That was a long time ago, because I think that was about four or five years ago now.
It probably was, because I mean, I've done two with him. I think me and Jason did one with him, and that was 2 or 3 years ago. And that one that you're talking about, that was even before that. Yep. Yeah, so
great.
It was a long time ago.
It was a great show, and go check it out. So, question, what was it that inspired you to start your podcasts that you're, well, let's start with your first one, BMX Weekly, that started out as High Low. What was it that really got you started into that?
You know, I spoke about this one before. I don't even know what we did before. We kind of used to do it somehow on Twitter. So we would literally, my friend is a techie guy in the background. It's basically my old trainer, Lewis. Somehow we would all get on, like three or four of us would get on some recording. And I think Lewis could kind of put it on a website or something, and then we'd link it up to Twitter. And we did that even before the first Olympics. So this could have been around 08. I really don't know the dates, to be honest. It's all deleted. But we started doing it on Twitter, and it kind of evolved from that. And yeah, I started, Tony D was probably the first guy that kind of got me onto doing it. And I think he encouraged me to do it. And then, I've never done it super consistently, but I've always done a little bit here and there, changed the names. And then I've always been a podcast listener. Even, you know, back then, when podcasts first kind of started to happen, I always enjoyed listening to them and just kind of listened and evolved it from there. And it's still kind of very rickety rackety even now. But yeah, I think it was all those years back then and just changed it around a little bit. Jason helps a lot sometimes. And, we set up a new one for the British Hall of Fame. So I've got, two podcasts and just kind of do it when I feel like doing it, you know. And I've never really chased sponsors or anything, because sometimes I just don't want to do it. You know, like I'm about to go into my camp season now, and I probably won't do, maybe I'll do one with Tyler or something during camp. But I never want to feel like I have to do it. So I always like to kind of keep it just for fun and just not do it. I mean, great job what you guys are doing. And I generally enjoy, I wish more BMX people would do them, to be honest.
Same here.
It's like, I'm not you see some podcasts will never mention other podcasts and stuff. It's like, I don't look at my stats. There's no, you know, no one's going to be Joe Rogan. I feel there's you know, obviously Mike's coming now and covers all the stuff I love, because I love to learn and listen to people that aren't, you know, from previous to my era. So I love the stories that Mike and EC and James are doing with Dirty Knobs. But I still feel there's a lot of 90s guys that still haven't done them or been spoke of, or, you know, a few guys I try and get, but I'd be open to more guys to do it. And I think even, you know, the coffee guys do it. I still think there's somebody that could come in and do top end BMX and really smash it, you know, and just focus on the Supercross Olympics and all that stuff on top of what the coffee guys are doing, you know? So yeah, I love them. I listen to them all day long. I've got earphones on all the time when I'm driving, riding, anything. I'm always listening to a podcast of some kind, you know, and it'd be nice to have some more BMX. Because like I say, you guys probably find out yourself, you get to hear so many cool stories and this by so many people. And I know there's so many people that have got great stories that don't always get the opportunity to say their story, you know, and there's so many more stories out there that we need to hear, you know.
Yeah.
It's always, what's really awesome is like when you hear a story that you were there, that you didn't, you know, I've heard some stories about the Christmas Classic being there, or a national I was at, or an event, something like that. And you hear this story over here. It's just, that's the cool part.
Yes.
Those are a lot of fun. And and you're going to know this too, when you hit the button to stop recording, those conversations you get to have. And those are fun. We always have after we're done here on the show, we just leave the Zoom you're in. People come in, we shoot the shit and hang out and talk and share stories. And Fel tells us about you guys crashing up rental cars and keeps us entertained there.
Yeah.
So you
that stuff's all off the record.
Yeah. You guys were talking, Brian Dale, you were referring to the team, Brian driving down the road. You were mentioning Charles and all these names. That was the GT team, and you had the firm, right? And between the two of you guys, do you think there's another team, another manufacturer out there that is going to get close to what you had then or can get close to that? Like, do you think maybe Chase is on the way? Because you named off, you know, you guys had some big names, Ellis, Charles, yourself, Dale, on and on and on down the line. And, you know, you guys are all in the Hall of Fame and headed that way. And can that happen again? Let me ask it that. Can that happen again in today's BMX?
I think Chase, maybe. I know Pete D, I know he was claiming a couple years ago that he'd already, I'm pretty sure it might've just been in a guy chat, but he'd already kind of said that Chase have already kind of gone past what GT's done. I don't know how you put the stats up. You know, obviously there was no Olympics during the GT era, but then you got GT with all the other teams and all the amateur stuff. They just completely destroyed amateur racing, and obviously the 80s, 90s, and after me as well, you know. And yeah, it's a good question. I think the only team that is legitimately paying that kind of money now and support and professionalism is Chase. There's nobody else. Mm-hmm. I think there's certain people that are probably taken care of. Sure, Elise is taken care of by her sponsors. Obviously, probably Corbin. Richard Hubbard's a good guy and he gets it. There's probably a few riders that have got some personal good deals. But as regards to a team, I think there's only really Chase that's anything close or on that level. Right, Brian?
I don't know. They're probably the closest, but they're not even close. GT carried seven A-Pros, seven Elite, seven AA, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
They carried seven of those guys, and then they had like what, six, seven amateurs per brand. That's another four times. That's the 28 more people.
Jeez.
At two people per room, at, you know, 3 days food money, you know, at 28 more airline tickets, 28 or four, seven more rental cars, six more rental cars. You know, there's like, that was a heavy. I would love to know what their monthly was.
Yeah, you know what, Brian, you're right. GT, no one's gonna pass that what they did. You just kind of reminded me.
So who did? What did they have? They had GT, Powerlite, Robinson, and Auburn.
Auburn. Yeah.
Okay.
Dino, a little bit of Dino, right? As well.
Oh, it's Dino.
Yeah.
You better not forget, I mean, Dino.
GT had, at one point, GT had, what, four pros, I think.
Just for GT.
Oh, more than that. I've been in...
No,
I've been
just, in... just GT brand.
I've been on GT when I was AA. Andy Contes, Robert Dwyer, Thomas Allier, me, kind of Gary was easing out then, but obviously Gary before that. And then you've got guys in Europe. Florent Boot was... Him and Robert Dwyer used to go back and forth in Europe before Robert made the full move. He was really good.
I was talking about four pros at one time.
At the same time.
Four GT team. Guys at one time.
Even then Kevin Royal was AA for a little bit. Pretty sure. I think main guys making good money at the same time would have been myself, Thomas, Robert, Contes, and then and Romero. I mean, as I got let go by GT, then they put Romero on GT. He moved over from Robinson. So, and then I say you've got Denny Nelson
exactly
on Powerline.
How much? And how much was that at one time there, Dale? As we all want to know.
Inquiry. I mean, everybody was doing well. I think, you know, it's.
I remember when I go into somebody's room and the stocks are on. I'm like, oh god. And they're all looking at the stocks. What do we got? What's what?
Oh, so they're looking at the stock market?
Oh, I remember that vividly.
I think that was Gary, right? Was Gary a big stock and Danny? That was their thing,
Gary,
right?
Gary and Danny. Yeah. See, I think they were trying to get Steve Pete involved in it. And look at
the money that GT mountain bike team, Mike King, Steve Pete, they were on a whole nother level of BMX. The money that them guys were... Eric Carter and them guys, they were making more than the mountain bike stuff was even bigger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, Kurt, GT, nobody will beat that behemoth ever.
Huh. No.
Ever.
But in
Billy Griggs, even though Billy was working there, he was racing a little bit of double A and still in the, you know, he could still make mains. So you can throw Billy in there as well, you know, during the, you know, 97, 98, 99, that kind of time.
Yeah.
So it was
they built their own TV studio for Crank.
I was gonna ask about that because earlier when we were asking about, you know, people or somebody that's done the most for the sport, I was thinking about that. Was like,
oh, the GT.
Who, like, GT came in and just made a TV show for the sport and to sell bikes.
They had a couple, right? They had what, Crankworks, and then was it Road to Glory or something like that?
It was, well, that was NBL. GT did Crank, and then the NBL was the ESPN Road to Glory. And then GT turned into Pump. I think that was more into the 2000s, but it was still the same people. Don Hoffman was doing all the GT camera. And some of those guys that did Crank, I see them now. They're in motocross and supercross. Like Dave Arnold did a lot of the stuff with us on the team. And I see Dave, he was at the outdoor last week. So a lot of them guys are still heavily involved in TV, motocross, supercross. Obviously, Huff is still involved in supercross, motocross, and that as well. So those guys went on to even bigger things after that, you know, the TV side of it.
What about the Huffy team? Remember when they came back in the, was it 2000s? They picked up Lions, Jimmy LeVan. They had some big money. Still not.
No comment.
Nowhere near the GT
side. No, they won as many of them, but I mean, there was Nasty.
Yep.
Jimmy LeVan, like you said, a Stumphauser. So they was all legit. Yeah, them guys were all making big money as well. Sanchez on Kmart. Walmart.
Yep.
So they weren't around too long, but no. During you talked to the Wild Man on that, but I know them guys were all making legit money as well, you know.
Huh.
Maybe even more in Wild Man's case.
So
a minute ago you were talking about the TV stuff. Todd Huffman pulled the biggest power move ever. I remember at the NBL Grands, I helped get a certain guy the job to produce the show, and he disappeared with all the camera equipment in the trunk of his car for like 4 days, 5 days, told people he was in the hospital and had an accident or whatever. But Huffman had the foresight to bring two blank GT checks with him to Kentucky, and they hired another crew right there on the spot, wrote the check, bam, how, like, already gave a check to this other guy, already cashed it, whatever the hell happened.
Mm-hmm.
But Huff, this briefcase, that's how long ago it was, briefcase, took out two checks, signed them, filled them out, signed them, handed them to the new producer, and the show went on, basically. They wow. filmed the grant.
I mean, TC could probably confirm it with you guys. I'm pretty sure I heard that the co-sponsor money that came in from the co-sponsors, you know, Panasonic, Shockwaves, Nike, all the ones that came in over the years, different sponsors. I heard the co-sponsorship money covered all the teams. Like GT had two car sponsors. I think we had, was it Hyundai, Brian? The mountain bike team had
Saturn, Hyundai.
It was Acura. There was two car sponsors. The mountain bike team had 10 because Steve Pete, they'd give him a car when he was in California, like, and he would just, here's your car while you're here. And then that was a completely different branded car to the BMX stuff. So I heard all the co-sponsorship money that came in, a lot from WD, I would think, covered everything. WD-40. GT didn't even have to put their own money in some years. Again, that's what I was hearing.
I think when GT was sponsored by Saturn, that we had four Saturns. Because
the mountain bike team had like, they had a, you went to GT, the mountain bike, there was over 10 cars they had and trucks and stuff. So that was again a whole other level.
Yeah. The whole other level.
Damn mountain bikers.
it was great. I mean, coming from no budget to unlimited budget, to, you know, it was just amazing. You know, it was like I remember pulling into Nashville, somebody put like a dog clip on one of the brake cables on one of the kids' bikes, and we were pulling in, and it just ripped the whole brake housing out off the bike and everything. And I wanted to kill the dude who did it. I forget who it was, but TC was like, just go buy a new brake. Don't worry about it. Then we just went and bought a new brake.
You would just go to Dan's. There's already a credit card on file, so you just run over to Dan's or JNR, if it was at the time, J&R. And just get whatever you wanted when you needed it. You know, need a new wheel,
cranks. For sure.
It was, at the time, I took it for granted. You don't realize till later really what was happening, you know, and you really think about it. But yeah, I'm sure somebody like TC or Huffman on here would be, you get some real good insight from them guys, you know, because they really, they know, you know, they,
cool.
know, they were signing them checks.
Yeah, well, I remember TC telling the kids, look, I want you guys to put an order in a month because I want you guys to get used to having to order stuff when you need it and be ready, have your stuff ready. Not like, oh man, I need some new grips. Let me go to the bike shop and try to get some. Like, order some grips from us. We'll send you 3-4 pairs. You know, just and put just, them over on the side. Don't give them to your friends. You know, yeah. like, keep all that stuff for yourself.
Show up with your stuff ready to rock.
Billy exactly. used to, you know, they always, when the box series comes out, they'd always, you know, GT always, you needed to look immaculate, your gear, your bikes. I was never big on cleaning bikes and stuff. And I never polished my bike, where a lot of those box series, the guys were polishing them. I remember one time Billy's like, you got to, you know, he's like, you know what? Just get another bike. You know,
what?
It was, yeah. Even cruiser. I would have cruisers. I would just leave in England and have them here. And I'd have bikes there. I had mountain bikes. I would leave over there. Like, here's your RTS and your Zaskar. You'd have bikes everywhere. Wherever you're going, you would have a stash of bikes there, you know. It was.
So you just leave them at the house in England, and.
Yeah, I'd leave a set of stuff over there, and I, even with Free Agent, we did that. I was back there last couple of weeks ago, and I had pulled the old KHS road bike out just to run around on. But, you know, it was the times. It's different times now. Obviously, sponsorship's different now, and it's a little harder for the. You feel bad almost for some of these riders that totally deserve to be fully supported. It's just different times now, you know, and obviously the bike industry is definitely hurting at the moment, you know. So I think going back to your question, I think Chase is probably the only one that is really, really right. taking care of the, at least team as a team. A lot of people are getting taken care of.
So,
you know?
So there,
and I think that comes from Christoph, you know. I think that comes from Christoph because he was always paid well and obviously well deservingly. And I think he always kept that, you know, respect, you know, with Connor and Joris and to what he's doing with the latest guys, you know.
Yeah,
but I think Christoph is a product of that era, which all those teams were kind of like that, except GT was just the megalodon of all of them.
Yeah,
you know, that was like the standard package. You had amateurs, you had 5-6 amateurs on a brand, and then you might have a pro or two, and that was just like how things were run. And I think he carried that into Chase or Pete. Well, there's your segue. Pete set up the program, I would think, mostly. And there's your GT alumni, you know? Yeah. I mean, dude, yeah. I'll stand behind it. You know, GT, the sport of BMX owes GT a lot, you know, for that decade. And I think the gifts keep on giving with the management nowadays. I think people that are in management know how to treat people and know how to be with people. That's honestly, because we could all tell the same story basically, you know.
Well, let's go back to ordering stuff. I mean, I try to order stuff on the ATB credit card and this shit gets denied all the
time. Dude,
downtime.
You can't even buy a, you can't even pay for a Red Bull on that card, dude.
I mean, I try. I tried using
that shit,
you know,
bounces higher than heck, man.
I tried using Brandon Popov's credit card too. That shit didn't work over either.
I got one for you for the integrity of GT, the recall.
On what? You've told me about this. Yeah, you told
what
me.
What happened?
They figured out that the wall thickness on the top tube was too thin, so when they were getting a weld, it wasn't penetrating enough and holding enough or whatever. Something
okay.
like that.
Yeah, yeah. The weld wasn't deep enough to hold it. Okay.
And so they recalled every one of them. Every one of them cost $1 million.
Box series?
Wow.
Box series GTs.
Wow.
Or speed series or whatever. I think it was this box series. But okay. we set up at the race. They would drop their bike off in the beginning. We would have 3 or 4 mechanics. They would take the bike, strip yours down, and put all your stuff on a new frame and wheel you out the other side in like 14 minutes or 16 minutes.
Damn.
That's impressive.
The whole bike done.
So you guys had a semi.
Not one person missed the moto. Not one person missed the race. Not one person missed anything.
And you guys were doing this you guys were doing this, like, what, did you put the, was, were you guys using the internet to let people know about this, mailing out cards? Like, how'd people know?
I don't know. I was in charge of the daily thing, and I set it up, and then I remember just crushing frames and throwing them in the back of this box truck.
What?
Whoa.
I remember that. Well, it was painful to see, wasn't it? Yeah, you'd see that just... They'd smash the old ones up.
Smash the back in and throw it in the back.
But you'd have to, because otherwise they could end up back out.
Yeah.
And then you've got the same problem.
Their thinking was, if someone was to know that we put out a faulty product and fell and got hurt, they could sue us for $10 million.
Sure.
So they took a calculated risk of or hit of $1 million to warranty, to replace everything.
Exactly.
No, that's definitely the way to go. But yeah, I think, back to the whole circle of this, I think Chase would be, today, would be the closest thing to that. I mean, they have, Connor Fields is, what now, a brand ambassador for them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Jorce today, you have, in for pro, and, oh shoot.
Isaac.
I was going to say the new kid, I can't remember his name. So you got Isaac, and then you got, in the vet pro, you got Tyler Brown, you got Barry Nobles. Shoot, they get, you know, Billy Griggs rides for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they got it stacked up there pretty darn good. You know, do they have a women's pro?
No.
I don't think they do.
No, that was the big thing.
Gotta get on that one.
Are they going to sign a woman or not? And then they got Tyler and Isaac. Talking about frames, though, I've been meaning to get to this one.
Frame.
Let's talk about your frame. When are we going to get some more of these?
Just talked to Neil Woods helping me do all this. This project is with my friend Mark Ward, who lives in London, or Bournemouth over in the UK. You know, between me and him, we designed a frame, and then we passed it over to Neil Wood, who's the guy that does everything for Cult. If you guys follow Cult, Neil designs and does everything in the background there. And so Neil kind of took our design and tweaked it, and then we used all his networks. Neil basically did the rest for us. I just talked to him the other day. I've been riding the prototype now for a year. We've changed it a little bit. It's going to be fully chrome ollie. So we're going to put out bars, forks, and frame all chrome ollie. And it's looking like landing. We'll have some going straight to England and then some over here. Just a limited run. Should be the end of July, early August will be the first batch. And then I'll see how that goes and see if I really want to continue doing it after that, or maybe just kind of, keep it kind of a hobby as it has been and as it is. But yeah, looking like early August, we should have stuff to sell.
Is this a pre-order?
What?
Is it a pre-order?
No, I'm not even that. It's not. A lot of people have told me, I've got a little list of people asked me to save them one and stuff, but I didn't really want to do the pre-order because then you kind of, I feel like you've got a bit of pressure to deliver at them dates. Everything Neil has said so far, though, and dates and stuff, everything, he's walked me through it, and it's, everything's happened what he said. So I'm very thankful and appreciative, Neil. If it wasn't for Neil, I probably wouldn't have really done it. He's just made it so easy to use all the Cult networks and shipping and everything that Neil does. I'm going to have, I think we're going to have 25 frames, forks and bars, a handful of that stuff will go straight to the UK, and then I'll have the rest here. Like I say, I got a little short list. I'll start posting some stuff for the frames. We should have pictures of the new frames in the next couple of weeks, and then I'll kind of gauge it from there. I really didn't even decide how to sell it. I haven't approached any bike shops, or I might just do it out the garage, or I'll just kind of see. I'll gauge it on the response I get when I post the final thing in the next hopefully couple of weeks.
Nice.
Okay. When you do that, let us know. We'll share it on our stuff too.
Oh, definitely. Thank you. I appreciate that, guys. Well,
Justin's going to order two of them.
Well, Austin two? Wants one. I ain't buying Austin's, but I mean, I'll buy one. Hey, Nick Dasani wanted to say hi. He's in the chat. He said hello. Skyway.
Oh,
Nick.
Nice. Yeah, is my friend Kenny Hunter might be in there. He said he was going to listen. He's over there and England. Kenny's the one that helps us do all our photography and stuff for BMX Weekly, and I know Kenny works nights, so he said he was going to be up and listening as well.
I do believe he checked in when we started.
He might have gone to bed then. Or his shift might have finished.
A little late over there.
Want to ask if you're willing to come back on for another show?
Oh, anytime.
That'd be great.
Yes.
Yeah,
there's so much more. We're gonna run out of time.
We didn't even get I mean, we got a whole bunch of podcast stuff we wanted to talk about we didn't get to, and Oh, yeah. We can go. We can do another one for sure.
Couple.
I told you the script was thick. We didn't have to worry about anything.
Oh no!
Right on.
I broke it down in segments, and I'm like, we ain't gonna get through this. Like, there's way too much in here.
So interesting, though.
Well,
to me, it is.
I don't know how you fit everything in. It's impressive. Camp aside, even everything else you're doing. Kenny said he's still up and listening. Hey, Kenny, thanks for listening. The stuff aside from the camp you're doing is impressive. Because of the websites you do, I was telling Fel that like they're on point. Like they're updated. They're you know very organized, easy to read, and you stay right on top of all of them. And you know, you launched into the British Hall of Fame side. So you got a website for that. And then you got the podcast you do over there too. You're a very, very busy man.
For sure.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's just like I say, it's all fun. Everything I do now is the stuff I enjoy. Anybody I post about or talk about or, you know, in BMX Weekly or the Hall of Fame, it's people that I feel that probably don't get, and there's still a whole lot more people that deserve to have a little shine. It's not always the same guys. I'm trying to not just get the guys who are going to maybe potentially be in the Hall of Fame, but there's a lot of what we talked about earlier, guys that probably didn't get much magazine coverage and stuff, but still did a lot of great things and got good stories. And I want to, you know, at least on the UK side, the media is obviously smaller and harder to get these stories out there. So I'm just trying to continue to push and post and stuff. And I've got a big archive. You can see behind me, these are all magazines, or a lot of this stuff is all archived magazines. I've got magazines from 40 years. I've got VHS tapes. I've got so much stuff that, I'm slowly transferring or screenshotting and posting. But I don't want to be the guy pulling it all out at once, you know, just a little bit here, a little bit there, and try and, share different stuff that I know people might appreciate and like, you know. So
Right. No, that's always good stuff. Hey, real quick, make sure you like and subscribe and give us a little thumbs up if you're enjoying the show. It helps us out. We appreciate it.
And with that, we're gonna slide into our newsmaker segment, Dale. And like if you got time, you can hang out. If you got to jump off, we understand. We're gonna touch in on some new stuff that's going around the world of BMX, and then we do our little showcase segment and talk about podcasts and things that other people are getting started and kicked off, because we like to share get the word out there, like you talked about earlier. That's the beautiful thing about vlogs and podcasts and what is the other shit we talk about? Magazine? No.
Things
zines.
Going on.
That's it. That's zines. The new thing.
Yeah. And zines, whatever. Yeah.
It's all back around again, Dale. It's all back around again.
Yeah. No, I love it all. Brian, another zine guy, you know, mega. So.
I would pay somebody a lot of money to make a zine. I promise you. I would be the first advertiser.
Well, you got two.
Check out Heavy Pedals.
Heavy Pedals has got one. And,
I bought a whole year from him.
Did you? Yeah. His stuff's good.
He's a good dude, man. Chuck's a good dude.
We actually cooked up a podcast and his zine on a ride home from Ray's. We were just driving home from Ray's, and he's like, I got this idea. I'm like, I have an idea too. And then it was born.
Hey, hey Dale, have you ever been to Ray's Indoor Mountain Bike Park?
No, but I want to go. I mean, I see all the videos. I talked to Todd Lyons' brother, Brad. I know he lives near there, and we were close to me and Jason Richardson of going out there this winter that's just passed, but we didn't quite pull it off. But I see all the stuff there. It looks so fun. You guys ride there sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
You got to come for the Old Fools.
Old Fools weekend.
Yes.
I just got invited to that, or by one of the guys just invited me just yesterday. I got a message for that. So it's obviously cool to do. Yeah.
Yep. We get to set up a spot there, and we do pop-up interviews and stuff like that. And shoot, who came? Gary Laurent came, and Tracer Finn came out. We flew out for it last
cool
time.
Guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was it's a good weekend, real chill, laid back, a lot of fun. And I just saw the updates. They ripped like two just massive rooms apart to rebuild. So the foam pit resi room, totally gutted. And the room next door to it has got it. It's crazy how much work they fit in just in the like their little off, what they call their off season. It's always changing. Nothing ever stays the same there for very long. So
we're definitely going to get a little crew from over here. I know me and Jason Richardson and Christian Besserine and Javier Colombo, we're all in like a group thing. We're like, we got to travel a little bit. We always keep talking about going to Florida for a week, because like I say, we could go visit Brian, Ronnie Bonner, do some podcasts, you know, ride some pump tracks, we don't even need to go to a race. There's so much stuff to do. So we do want to do more of this stuff. I want to go to New York as well. I got a couple of guys I talked to over there and just kind of just hang out and ride and just kind of cruise through the streets and people watch. So it's all stuff. I want to do, and I plan on making the effort to do that in the next few years.
When you let us know. We'll roll up there with you.
Let us know. Let us know if you're coming to race. We'll make a point to get over that way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk a little newsmaker, and this is brought to you by our good friends at 110 Nutrition. And you just found out the goodness, didn't you?
Dude.
He's now a believer.
This stuff is good. 110 Nutrition.
Good supporter of the show.
That out. Yes.
So talked to Nick yesterday, and they are in Marysville tonight doing the clinic tonight down there.
Oh, wait. Oh, you're skipping. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did.
Justin, where's the captain?
Oh, there it is. The captain is down in Marysville tonight.
Oh, hey, I got his shirt on.
There you go. It's like you planned it. And any of the stops that Nick and Lindsay are at, you guys, don't forget, you can go up, buy your raffle tickets for the Duffel Bag Dash, and all that goes right back to all the pros and those running the Ag 5 Challenge. A lot of nice giveaways for this month. They've got a couple rim sets, and every month it keeps adding more and more, and then it starts over the following month. So
he's got sponsors and the bandana. He's selling these bandanas. I don't know if he's got any left, if they sold out, but he had those down in Nashville last weekend. They're pretty cool.
Yep.
I ordered one.
He'll be in South Park June 3rd and 4th, and then over at Nova BMX on the 6th, and we'll get the links in there for you guys so you can check them out. Take the clinics, and again, make sure you guys support the Duffel Bag. He's doing a lot for the sport, and make sure you guys are helping him out. Damon, you want to let him know about the big race coming up this weekend?
That's right, Richfield BMX Park, our first state qualifier of the year. So make sure you come hang out with us this Sunday. Registration is from 9 to 11. ATB will be there. I'll be in the house.
Yep.
All things, you know, this is going to be a good time. First qualifier of the year. So make sure you come hang out, Richfield BMX Park.
Paul and I are going to be announcing. Be a fun time.
Sweet.
And
nice. I'm coming out there. You going out there, Damon, for sure?
Oh, I'll definitely be there for sure.
Dude, all right. We're going to have some fun.
Real Pop will be there, too.
Sweet.
Oh, man. And next bit of news is the Antonio Bellavista Memorial shirt. A real good friend of the show. Passed away here earlier this year. They're doing a limited run of these shirts. Cool thing about this, only $20. Done in lime green. And the deadline is the 16th of June for these. We'll get the link in here. $10 of every shirt goes back to the family for Antonio. And real good friend of ours. It's a cool way to help him out. And our last little bit of newsmaker is coming from actually Nashville over the weekend. If you guys saw this crash, it was wicked. Stephen Latchford, we're going to put his GoFundMe link in here. He's 3640 Cruiser main event, took a nasty crash. He got beat up pretty bad. They had to bring him back. They're doing chest compressions and all that stuff on him.
CPR and all that, right?
So, he's got a long road ahead of him. I did see the video today. Pretty cool. He's already up walking around, so that's exciting.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, he's got a long road ahead. So anything you guys can toss in there. Yeah, Austin said he was behind him in the gate. He said it was brutal. Even if it's $1, look, we're BMXers. Everything helps, all right? So, this is big.
Hey, if we can get a bunch of people to throw a buck or two in there, pretty soon we got a big pile going on, so it'll help them out.
Exactly. And piggybacking on that, little change the format with the show. We're going to start doing a local track check-in. So if you guys want to get your show featured or your track featured on the show, email me, text the show, text me, and we'll get in contact and we'll get you guys where you can send a video in of one of your local riders and talking about your track and why your track's awesome. So we want to start showcasing the tracks around the globe.
There we go. Yeah, just email us at info@allthingsbmxshow.com.
You can also hit the show up on the Facebook, Instagram. Message Chris. If you got that naked picture of Fell, send it to Chris daily. You can just send it over to him daily. Oh, yeah.
Dude.
I got it. I got the background out of it for you, dude. It's a hot one for you there.
Thanks.
All right. And
right, shit ain't right.
No,
you're the one that shared it,
dude. That's what I'm telling him, right, Brian? I don't need that
because when you share things to the group, it's supposed to stay.
It still has.
It was funny in the group.
It's like Vegas, right?
Just stays there. Sorry, I lost that screen real quick. So normally this is the part, Dale, where we do trivia, and Melissa, our producer, would have a trivia question for you, but she's out, and we're not going to attempt it.
But we got a shout out to Bombshell Racing Systems, who is a sponsor of trivia. Thank you guys for supporting the trivia question, and it will be back soon.
As soon as she's feeling better, she'll be back in the chair, taking care of the chat,
So hopefully she'll be back soon. And next week's guest, ready for this one?
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
We are going to talk to vet pro Chris Sutton, and he is kind of known as the king of the OS20.
Yep.
So all you guys with OS20 questions, get them in the chat next. Get them in the chat now. And, you know,
not this soon week. I'm not going to remember them.
No. As soon as we start posting the event for Chris's show next week, put questions in there. OS20 stuff, man.
Damon, I've just got to say, I love the Voodoo Ray.
Ah, nice. Guy Cardio is one of my favorite artists.
Oh, yeah. I'm listening. You had some Yazoo on earlier as well.
Yes, I did. Nice. Thank you, sir.
So that'll be next Wednesday. Check out Chris Sutton.
Just beyond talking OS20s and advantages, goods and bads. Be a fun time talking to him. And we're going to talk about our next thing is our showcase segment brought to you by our good friends over at Answer. And you guys, you and Dale, were talking about the latest episode from our friends there.
Oh, yeah. So Dirty Knobs Podcast. Make sure you check this out. We have Hollywood Mike Miranda, Eric Carter, and James Vicente. They host Dirty Knobs Podcast, where they're talking to all these guys from back in the day. So go check that out, especially you old school guys. If you're a fan of old school or you want to get some history of BMX, Dirty Knobs Podcast, go check them out.
All right, the other podcast, a couple of the other ones we got we're going to get through here is the Moms Talk BMX Podcast, a group of ladies out of Florida talking BMX. Really good show. Melissa and I got to be on there, and they just had Connor Fields on there. Make sure you check him out. We'll get the links in there for you guys to go check out.
Check out.
They
the
do a really
Justin,
good job.
Check out the Justin and Melissa show. I learned a few things. I did not know.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweep shit off the floor and put in your pizza.
That's one thing. If you ever get Justin upset,
I was in high school,
do not
man.
Order a pizza from Justin.
Dale, have you been on the Beer Budget show yet? They called you yet?
I haven't. No, we're like Facebook friends. I think they do it Saturday night, don't they? It's always hard to get online on Saturday night. Always got family stuff going on, but they seem a really nice bunch of guys.
I'll tell you, Rick, get off. You got to get your shit together, Rick. All right, it's just come on, get Dale on. Probably could drive down there and hang out with you in the studio. The Beer Budget BMX show is the only live open forum BMX show discussing your hot topics about news, teams, drama, announcers in Florida, you name it, it's going on. And next week's show is going to be coming in hot Saturday night. You know how hot it's going to be?
Justin, how hot?
Shit, hotter than Jelly Roll's underwear at an August concert. Tell you what, the only thing hotter than Jelly Roll's underwear is going to be my homie Mike. When he's dropping a Wilson in porta potty number 6 at the Rockford National.
Ooh.
Hold on, what'd you just say? Drop a what? Yeah, well, listen. It's about that time we give this little cookie a... Slow down. I got a lot more on this one. I spent an hour writing this one last night. All right, so we're going to pause this one, give this little cookie an hour before we're starting to do the no pants dance. It's time to musk up this Saturday. You won't have to musk up. Or you're going to be discussing pros flipping the gates on those pro gates. And I just forgot the other name, and it's in there. It's the pro gates and the pro starts. So the pluses and minuses between the two. And breaking and enterings. And we're also going to talk a little bit with the Beer Budget, all the nonsense that's argued on Facebook. So, guys, make sure you tune in. Hey, Rick, Mike, you guys, they've done studies, 60% of the time it works every time. Remember what Thunder Midget says are your essentials for training. Tanning beds, tuna, and tight. Never mind on that one. Tune in.
Blow it up.
Let's get this kitty purring. What's up, Fel?
Friday night.
Oh, you want to do one Friday night?
Oh, is it Friday night or Saturday night?
Their show's Saturday night. Our show's Friday night.
Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So.
And that's the Beer Budget BMX show. Yep. Every Saturday night, they're gonna get Dale on.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you know what? Speaking of Beer Budget, real quick, Hack Shack. You guys looking for a side hack? Get a hold of the Hack Shack out there in California. Mike Melvin, he's your guy. He builds custom side hacks for everybody out there. So check them out. Next show we're going to talk about BMX in Our Blood podcast. This is hosted by our good friend, Mr. Joe Doherty. He's anywhere you get your podcast from. We'll put a link in the chat. Check out the latest vlog he's got going on out there at BMX in Our Blood podcast.
Yeah, we'll round them out here, and we have the Real BMX Racing podcast show. These guys were on a couple weeks ago, bringing that East Coast flavor. Shannon Polk and Everett Robinson bringing it to you. They interviewed Elite Pro Alita Beeman a little while ago.
Yeah,
and Dale was talking about this show, the Texas BMX show with Rusty Dial. Are you going to be heading over, Dale, to the old school race there in Texas?
No, I looked at it. It's my camp start that following Monday, so I can't, in case the flights didn't make it out Sunday night, it would mess up my camp. So unfortunately not. I'm definitely going to do the Todd Hoffman's one up there in Northern California at the end of the year, but hopefully we'll make it out of Texas again maybe next year if they do it.
Awesome. Hopefully by next year we got one on the East Coast.
That would be
maybe
nice.
Maybe it's Florida. We all could fly down there.
Hey, at least it would be warm, right?
Yeah, well, hey. You know.
All right, next one, Boss Man Vlog. Make sure you check this out. Boss Man Vlog is hosted by super fast expert cruiser racer Maurice Adams. He talks about the ins and outs of the BMX world. Might be training, might be talking sprints, might be covering a race. Make sure you check him out on YouTube. We'll put a link in our chat so you can go check out that. And if you are a podcaster, a live stream, like BMX Weekly, and you want to be on our show, we'll feature you. And actually, we should plug Dale's show real quick.
I was going to let Dale plug his show. Dale.
That would be the way to do that.
Plug your show.
Okay, well, we got two podcasts. We got BMX Weekly, which is all, you get all the links on bmxweekly.com and on the BMX Weekly app. And then I've also got the British BMX Hall of Fame podcast as well, which is more, you know, more towards British riders. We've only just kind of got it going, so I'm just slowly tapping away at building that one as well. So yeah, and that's all on anything British BMX Hall of Fame.
All right,
we'll add that to our list.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, if you have a podcast, a live stream, print, a zine, anything like that, get a hold of us. info@allthingsbmxshow.com, and we'll add you to our list.
Are you ready for the next part?
Oh.
There's a lot of birthdays this week,
seriously,
bud.
Seriously, dude.
Dale, it's the most anticipated segment of the show. It is
no,
Chris Spear.
Look at him. He's like, seriously, dude? Like he didn't know what was coming.
Oh, it's
no,
time.
No, when he tells me there's a bunch of them, that means there's, you know, it's not bad if there's like eight. That's
nope.
Pretty good. But when he
Come on,
says
bro,
a bunch,
it's early summer. You know people were getting it on 9 months ago, kid.
Sure. All right.
Those winter babies coming out.
That's
the
it.
Winter babies.
Winter babies be coming out.
Okay.
All right.
So,
it is birthday time. It's brought to you by our good friends over at On Two Wheels. Man, you see them at the National. Go in and say hi. Chris, take it away.
All right. So if you're celebrating. Well,
you at least got to do one in an English accent.
Really?
Jane said so. Jane wants you to do it.
Oh, Jane did?
Yeah, Jane.
Okay,
did.
I'll do it for Jane.
Okay.
All right. But I don't know how I'm going to do that because I'm not. I'm sure I will offend folks. I don't know.
Really? Really? You're going to offend somebody the way you slaughter names?
Dude. All right, so I'll try and do the first one.
All right.
Eric Gabriel. How's that for British? I don't know. All right. Michael Smith. Jeremy Smith. Jerry Brockington.
Who Smith?
Jerry Smith.
There you go.
Jerry. What did I say? I said something wrong, didn't
you just
I?
Inserted anybody's name.
Oh, great. Of course. Let's see here. Brian Keith. Steve Berry. Wait, Brian Keith is in here twice.
On yours, not on the screen, though.
Oh. Well, oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I see what you're saying. Sorry. Tyler Griffin. Chris Pinzera, Quentin Norton, Dismas DMX. I assume that's some type of screen name.
Yeah, it's probably not. It's not on his driver's license.
Okay.
That's definitely
interesting.
It's not on his driver's license.
Isn't there like a rapper DMX, a singer guy?
Was. The dude's, he's gone.
Oh, he passed? Oh, sorry, I didn't know that. All right, let's see here. Andy Kornholder, Ryan Angelo.
What did Andy do?
Kornholder.
Okay.
What? Dude, come on. What the hell?
Oh my god!
What did I say wrong with that? Oh shoot!
What did Andy do?
Dude, you're killing me, man!
Even Dale's over there laughing at that one.
I'm not saying anything.
Dude, Kornholder?
Hang on.
Are you looking something up? What are you doing?
Well, all the names just went. My script just reset to the very top. I got to go all the way. Just...
Oh, God.
There you go.
Look at the screen. Look at the TV.
You can't read. I don't have the font big enough.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's see.
Here. Okay. It's Andy. That's where you left off.
All right. All right. Ryan Angelo, Kalen Skinner, Alex Hergott, Clint Eastwood.
That's real.
Is that the actual actor?
Yeah.
Who's writing these names down?
He follows the show.
I just copy
him. He follows the show.
I'm friends with him on Facebook.
All right. This one. Robert Jaramillo. Milio? Tyler Thompson.
Wait, that's
who?
All right, it's Trevor Thompson. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Jeremiah David. David Violet. I guess it would be. Chris Gilch. Tommy Merriman. And let's see here, Dylan Sibrill, which would be Gate 9.
There you go.
Big deal. And if you would like your birth name is pronounced on the All Things BMX Show, make sure you email us to info@allthingsbmxshow.com.
That's, what's Andy up to this evening?
He's heading over to Brian's house.
I don't know. Kornholder.
That person is definitely going to Miranda's house. That's a Mike Miranda if I've ever heard one.
It's got to be.
Oh, I guess I did have it on the one guy's name on there twice. It's Big Dale's birthday, and you were right. That's Jen and Billy's kid from Gate 9. Happy birthday. We looked at a picture from a couple years ago when he did a show with us.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He's like here. Now he's... there. Yeah, like yeah. He's taller than both of us. It's crazy. Yeah. Happy birthday, Dill.
Yeah, happy birthday, buddy.
Hey, what do you want? What?
Well, I see where we're at here. So do we want Dale a plug?
Yeah, anybody? Absolutely.
Dale, if you have any shout outs or plugs you'd like to do, we're getting to where we're going to wrap up here. So if you have anybody you'd like to thank.
I think I'm good. Thanks to you guys for having me on All Things BMX Show. Appreciate it. It's a lot of fun talking to you guys. And always good to talk to Brian and meet and talk to you guys, Justin, Chris, Damon. It was fun.
Yes.
Damon, you gotta send me a tape of all that music because I like everything you played.
I can send you some. I send you a link to some stuff.
Yeah, man. I love anything like that.
All right. No problem. I got you.
Right, yeah. Care. Thanks for having me on, guys. A lot of fun. Happy to come back anytime.
I'll get a hold of you for sure, man. If you want to stick around and chit-chat, we're going to be hanging out here for a few, just a little while afterwards. You just hang in the Zoom room, and we're going to be right back. Chris, you want to say goodnight?
Yeah, so make sure you check out. Remember, a live stream version of our show is sponsored by Mega Design Group. A podcast version of our show is sponsored by Diajob Apparel. Make sure you like and subscribe to Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, all that stuff. Again, that does help us out. We do appreciate it. Please do that for us. Share the show with your friends. Other than that, I will be off next week, so I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. And God bless you. Have a great night. I'm going to just hand it over to Justin.
Thank you, Fel, for jumping in this week and filling in. Appreciate it. It was a good time. And thank you, Dale. It was great. It's an honor to have you on, and looking forward to having you back on again. And Brian, do you have anything you want to say before we shut her off?
Oh, man, it's always a good time coming on. You know, a lot of people don't know it, but I'm usually texting you guys all the way through the show, like little stupid stuff, you know, trying to help out. But, no, I like coming on the show. I like being a part of it, and it's good stuff, good fun. So,
director of talent procurement. How's that?
We'll figure it out sooner or later. Again, you guys, thanks again. Thanks for everybody joining us. You guys have a great night. God bless, and you stay classy, BMX.
Thank you.